Today, Sharaji explains the seventh Nayana and Avarana, the seventh deliverance and the seventh obstacle. Pamoja, Ariyana, Nayana. Pamoja is the deliverance of the noble ones. Pamoja is the delight or the minor form of joy. And through the Pamoja, the noble persons attain deliverance from suffering. When it is said that Pamoja is the delight, it is not the kind of sensual delight, but it is the Dhamma delight. It can be called Dhamma Rati, the Dhamma delight. When practicing, when Viriya, Sati, and Samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration are strengthened, the person gets goose flesh, and at times one feels as if something is dripping or covering the whole body from head, and it is minor form of piti, minor form of joy. In the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, the person experiences the oozing, cooling, good experience, good feeling, springy, good feeling, and one feels as if sitting on a sofa, and the piti pervades in the whole body that one does not even want to open the eyes. Pamoja is the Dhamma delight. And by practicing further, Vipassana Jnana will develop stage by stage, and when knowledge becomes mature, one realizes Nibbana by attaining Magaphala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Arati is the Nayana Varana, the obstacle of deliverance. It is the opposite of Pamoja. Arati is the laziness, not having delight in the practice. So when there is no delight, then one feels lazy and bored in the practice. So the kind of laziness, boredom, not having delight in the practice that can develop both the mind and the knowledge is called arati. And it is a hindrance, it is an obstacle that hinders and obstructs the deliverance from suffering. And it is said that tena tayaca aratiya nivutata pamoja ariyana niyana nabacani natiti arati niyana varana. When the mind is entangled with arati, the person does not know pamoja as the deliverance, and thus arati is called the Nayana Varana, obstacle, hindrance of deliverance. In the Mahatika, Nayana is defined as the way to attain absorption, jhana. So it is taken as the way to attain logia jhana, mundane absorption. But Mahatika the sub-commentary is defining the samatha jhana, and thus in the context of samatha jhana, it explains as the cause to attain mundane jhana. But in the vipassana samadhi, in the practice to gain vipassana samadhi, niyana is the cause to attain vipassana jhana. So practicing satipatthana meditation is not to gain lokiya jhana, the mundane absorption, but one has to practice in order to develop vipassana. From Paramoccha, starting from developing Paramoccha, minor kind of joy, and in the practice, it can lead to the stronger form of piti, balava piti, the greater form of piti, joy. The person become joyous, peaceful, calm, happy, and the person discerns correctly, such as discerning nama, rupa, and so on. So it is said that in the practice of satipatthana, having atapa viriya, ardent effort, in the noting, aiming the noting mind onto the object, asserting ardent effort in noting, sati, mindfulness, will be sustained on the object, and samadhi, concentration, develops. When samadhi, concentration, develops, the nivarana, hindrances, such as kamachanda, sensual desire, will be removed. When the person sees that his or her mind is free from nivarana hindrances, the person feels minor joy, dubala piti, the minor joy or weaker joy, having goose flesh, and such kind of weaker joy can lead to the greater form of piti by continuing the practice. Having the greater form of piti, one will also gain pasati, tranquility. Both the mind and the body feels tranquil. The mind is not distracted. It will not scatter. There will not be remorse. Both the mind and the body feels tranquil, and also sukha, happiness, arises. Sukhino jaitan samadhi yati, when one has happiness, the mind will be calm, collected, concentrated. The noting mind falling calm, collected on the object. And kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, is strengthened. Samadhi no yatha bhutam pajanati, having concentration, the person discerns correctly, the person discerns the nama rupa that really exists, and the person also discerns cause and effect. And in this way, the person develops jnana, knowledge, stage by stage, discerning nama rupa, cause and effect, impermanent suffering and non-self. And finally, when knowledge becomes mature, one realizes nibbana by attaining magga phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Due to Paramoccha, The person feels happy, delighted in the practice, and there will be bhavana ready. There will be the dhamma delight when the mind and the knowledge is developed. And through the practice, the noble persons attain deliverance from suffering. And thus, paramoksha is the nayana, the deliverance from suffering. Paramoksha arises usually in the people whose mind are tender, and paramoksha rarely arises in the persons whose minds are mature. There is the example compared to paramoksha arising usually in the people who have tender mind, and paramoksha rarely arising in the ones whose mind are mature. The example is given when kids are given $1 or $2. By getting $1 or $2, they are happy, jumping. But the older person, an adult, will only be happy by getting $100 or $1,000. So this example can be compared to paramoksha that arises mostly in people who have the mind, who has the mind that are tender and weak. In the practice, when piti arises, the people who are not as mature, they will feel happy thinking that they have this special experience, and they feel elated, and this can even lead them to be missing or failing to note the object, and it also disturbs the practice by being elated with such joy, and yogis should be careful not to let it happen. However, a person's mind may be mature, but when the person gets to the Uddiyabhaya Jnana, the practice is good, there will be paramoksha, delight, and the yogi might mistake it for supermundane knowledge, and the person is happy with the practice. And concerning with this, what has been mentioned in Dhammapada is quite noteworthy. In the Dhammapada, there is the verse Sonyagaram Bhavetasa Sana Chitasa Bhikkhuno Amanusi Rati Hoti Sama Dhamma Vipassato. Sonyagaram Bhavetasa, as the person goes into a secluded place where it is secluded from the noise of human cars and so on. When the person goes into such secluded quiet place, the person starts noting rising and falling of the abdomen during the sitting, noting objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen. When the mindfulness becomes strong, when the mind is calm and collected, the mind will not be agitated with raga. The mind will be calm, collected, not being agitated by raga or dosa. And thus there will be sandha citta. The mind will be peaceful and calm, being away from the defilements. And the person discerns nama rupa and so on, developing knowledge stage by stage. And sama dhamma vipassato, yogi discerns the arising and passing away of the objects, discerning that the objects arise at one moment, dissolve at another, the objects in a complete flux. When that happens, amanusirati, the person gains the kind of joy that excels many times than the human sensual happiness. When Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strengthened, one develops both the mind and the knowledge, and the person gains unrelinquishable, unique kind of happiness. The happiness gained is very unique, that it is one, but it is always new. So it is only one unique happiness, which is always new and new. So at this stage, the Dhamma happiness excels many times than the worldly happiness. And if the person continues to practicing accurately, precisely, according to the guidance given by the meditation teacher, practicing respectfully, meticulously, then the person will develop knowledge stage by stage until the person realizes Nibbana. So if the person practices according to the guidance and instruction respectfully, meticulously, then even within a few days, the person progresses amazingly. But some of the people, they do not give priority to sila, morality. They think that sila, morality is not needed, and they don't care about the sila. They think that practice is important and sila doesn't need to be practiced. And if such kind of person does not have faith and confidence, not giving priority to sila, and if the person do things in the way he or she thinks as right, then such kind of person will not gain the unique, unrelinquishable happiness, and the person will not be attaining Magapala Jnana. And the another verse, Yato Yato Samasati Kandana Udayapaya Labati Piti Pamoja Amatanta Vijanata, saying that by being mindful of the Nama Rupa phenomena that arise, when the person attains Udayapaya Jnana, discerning the first arising and passing away, at that stage, the person develops minor form of piti as well as the greater form of piti. So piti arises in great momentum by leaps and bounds. And when this happens at this stage, there will be good feeling, good experience. The body feels fringy, good feeling. Oozing, cooling feeling. And at this stage, the Dhamma taste becomes very good. And such is taken as amata, meaning the deathlessness or Nibbana. So at this stage of Vipassana Jnana, it is taken as Amata, meaning deathless. Piti and Pamoccha, the greater joy and the minor joy itself, are not the Amata, the deathless, but as the yogi has gained Piti and Pamoccha, and as the yogi gains Piti and Pamoccha, yogi will not withdraw from the practice, but yogi will practice further, and the yogi cherishes the practice, and the yogi is willing to give up the less precious thing in order to gain more precious Dhamma. And as the person continues the practice, the person becomes free from the gravity of defilements. The gravity of the defilements get weaker and weaker, and the yogi gains the Dhamma taste. And one should be careful that there can be Nikandi, minor form of Tanha, craving. And if the person removes Nikandi, minor kind of attachment or craving on this good experience, and continue the practice, the yogi who is bright can attain Nibbana even within a few days. And the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji explained in much detail in the chapter 5 of the method of Vipassana practice. So as a yogi, yogis should be mindful of every arising object, keeping mindfulness as the protection, noting every arising object at the moment the object arises. At the stage of Uddiyamaya Jnana, there are experiences that are quite special. There are illumination pervading the whole room or the whole building. There can be illumination. And also, knowledge becomes very clear-cut. Just as when cucumber is cut with a very sharp knife, in the same way, the way the knowledge knows is very sharp, clear-cut. And piti, joy, becomes very strong. Sada, faith and confidence, here is called adimokkha, resolute faith, coming to a decision that this practice is correct. And also, the person gains benefits of practice, and the person comes to confirmation decision that this practice is the correct way, and thus sada, faith and confidence become very strong. There will be pagaha, persistent effort. In the beginning of the practice, yogi had to practice with effort, encouraging himself, herself. At times, the effort becomes slack, but at this stage, the effort will not be slack. It will not be excessive. The person will not be over-eager in the practice, but it will be balanced, and the effort will be persistent and uplifted. So uplifting, persistent effort, bhagaha, will arise. And sati at this stage is called supatita, as the mindfulness is firmly established, closely established on the object. The object and the noting mind become homogeneous, and the yogi can note the object with much ease and comfort. And sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, become mature, and The practice will be pursued. The person continue the practice, and the person is automatically attracted with the practice, pursuing the practice. But at times when the practice is not good, there can be laziness and boredom in the practice. When the person is expecting good experiences, and if it doesn't happen according to the way the person wants, the person becomes even more bored and more lazy. When this happens, the person has to reflect on the virtue of the Buddha, the virtue of the Dhamma, and the virtue of the Sangha. So one has to reflect the virtues of the Triple Gem. And especially, one has to reflect the virtue of the Dhamma, and one has to reflect the benefit of Vipassana practice, the benefits of Satipatthana meditation. And also, the person should reflect on the person's pure morality, reflecting that starting from the beginning of the practice, how one's morality has been pure and clean. And also, one has to reflect that when the mind has mindfulness, having mindfulness, how the mind is free from defilements, how the mind is pure, clean, noble, being free from defilements. Every time there is mindfulness. And one should reflect that every time one is mindful, every time there is the mind calm, collected on the object, the priyutana kilesa, the obsessive defilements are removed. When the noting mind is directed onto the object, when the noting mind is face to face or direct with the object, discerning the object, then the mind, the defilements that can lack, the defilements that can arise by lack of mindfulness have no chance to arise the moment there is mindfulness, concentration, discerning the object. So in this way, one has to reflect, one can reflect on these things in order to awaken Bhavmoksha. So there are times when one has to deliberately awaken Bhavmoksha by himself, herself, and also the meditation teacher will also give the guidance, encouragement in order to incite Bhavmoksha in the yogi. So in this way, the Bhavmoksha has to be deliberately incited, deliberately awakened during some part of the practice. So it is very important that the yogi practices according to the guidance and instruction. And when coming to interview, yogi should report whether yogi can note the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen. Yogi should report whether he or she can note the primary object rising and falling of the abdomen. And if yogi is able to note rising and falling, what he or she come to know by noting rising, falling. So this is compared to a doctor and a patient. So reporting by a meditator to the meditation teacher is compared to the patient explaining the symptoms that the patient is experiencing. So when going to the doctor, the patient should explain what he or she has been experiencing, what kind of symptoms he or she has. And after the doctor has given the prescription, when the patient goes for follow-up, the patient should describe whether he or she is taking the prescribed medicine regularly, full dosage or not, and whether the patient is following the do's and don'ts as described by the doctor. So if the patient does not report to the doctor about his or her symptoms, or if the patient is leaving out some of the symptoms, then it will not be as easy for the doctor to give prescription, whether to keep on giving the same medication, or whether to add certain medication, or whether to change to another medication. So if the patient is very quiet, not wanting to explain the symptoms, or if the patient is suffering from one symptom but telling the doctor of another symptom that he or she is not experiencing, such kind of patient is not helping the doctor to diagnose or give treatment. And if it goes on, the patient can become a chronic patient. So this is compared to reporting in interview. So it is important that the yogi is able to report accurately, precisely what he, she has been going through in the practice, so that the meditation teacher can give the guidance and instruction in order to encourage the yogi so that the yogi can progress. In the Vipassana practice, that can free the person from the gravity of defilements in order to uplift one's life, arati, laziness, is the obstacle. And because of this arati, laziness, there are more of those who cannot practice Vipassana in the world. And there are only a handful that can practice Satipatthana meditation. And the number of people who practice Satipatthana meditation has been very few compared to the population of the world. And thus, most of the people are encountering suffering, and still encountering suffering, they do not see the flaws, and they think of them as good. And some of them, they see the flaws of the assistances, but they just complain without doing anything about it. And Buddha said, Andi Buddho ayan loko tanuketa vipassati sakuno jala motowa apo sakaya gacchati, meaning that the worldlings are blind, and only a few practice. Just as only a handful of birds escape from the cage, from the net, in the same way, only a few go to good assistances. Saraji explains the verse as taught by the Buddha in Dhammapada. Tanuketa vipassati, in this world, the ones who see the flaws of the samsara round of existences, the one who develops vipassana jnana, are very few. And because they do not have the vipassana knowledge eye, they are said to be blind, even though they have the eyes, but they are said to be blind as they are lacking the Vipassana knowledge eye. And when a hunter catches the birds with a net, only a few birds who struggle themselves from the net, only a few get freed from the net. In the same way, only a few beings go to good assistances, only a few beings attain the peaceful, the peace, total peace, or the peacefulness. So there are only a few who gain the good assistance or the peace. Buddha calculated what percentage follow the Dhamma. Buddha said that only 1 out of 100,000 follow the Dhamma practice that can lead the person to be free from the gravity of defilements. So only 1 out of 100,000 keep the Dhamma as the norm. So it is important that the person should be among these people who are 1 out of 100,000 who practice the Dhamma, giving the priority to the Dhamma. Even those who are 1 out of 100,000 who practice the Dhamma, when they encounter difficulty during the practice, when their practice seems no good, when they think that they are not developing knowledge, especially those who are expecting good experiences to come, but if it doesn't turn out to be the way the person wants, then the person has laziness, the person gets bored in the practice, not having delight in the practice, and the person has many excuses to leave the retreat, and some of them even leave the retreat, skipping the retreat, even without letting the teacher know. And if that happens, such kind of person will not be liberated from the suffering. In the Vipassana practice, laziness is Nayana Varana. It is the obstacle. As explained earlier on, when laziness arises, one should reflect on things as described. One should reflect on the virtues of the Triple Gem and so on. And one should dispel laziness by reflecting the virtue of the Triple Gem and so on. And also the teachers should give encouragement to the yogi. And yogi should also reflect that the old age, disease, and death are the sufferings that are frightening. And yogi should reflect on the Samvega Vattu, the things that are worthy of spiritual urgency. So whenever laziness arises, one can either reflect on these things, and one has to be mindful of the laziness. So one should dispel laziness by being mindful of it. One should be mindful of the object, whether good or bad. If the object is bad, yogi should be mindful of it as it is. If there is laziness, yogi should note it. And by noting diligently, laziness will be overcome, and the yogi gains upper hand by being mindful. And by continuing the Vipassana practice, one can finally attain the supramundane knowledge. So Saraji encourages all the yogis to practice diligently so that they can overcome such difficulty. And this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.